John's Gospel, the 7th chapter, reading from verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Please, let's bow before him now in prayer. Our Father, we have the word now open before us, and we pray for light upon the written page. We ask, Lord, for the light of thy Spirit to shine in our minds. We pray that everything that would distract us and take away that truth would be removed. We pray, Lord, for grace to obey the Word of God and to take it to our soul. I pray that I will be filled with thy Spirit to speak clearly, no one would misunderstand, and that, Father, you would work in the hearts of those who are unsaved, and work in the hearts of each one of us, Lord, who know and profess that we are Christians. We think of those in the service today who were without Christ this morning, and we pray that they would yet be under conviction, the Spirit of God working in their hearts. And so, Lord, hear us now tonight, settle us, still our hearts. May we rejoice at thy presence with us. Hear this, our prayer, Lord, tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Nicodemus, the one whom the Lord met in John chapter 3, he was there with the band of Pharisees who were challenging the Lord's authority and ministry, and indeed rebuked those officers that were sent to take the Lord at that time. Nicodemus tried to make a little stand here to object to the manner with which the Pharisees were going about their business. Does our law charge anyone or condemn him before he's had a proper hearing? And so as they confronted Nicodemus back again, he did not respond any further. Whether or not Nicodemus at this time really knew the Lord, perhaps the Spirit of God was at work in his own soul, and he knew that something was not right, both in himself and in the manner with which they were dealing with him. It only gives us a further indication of how the Lord was challenged continually about what he was preaching and what he was saying. How important it is for us to realize in our own examination of the Scripture that we must be prepared to take the Word as it has come to us and see how the Lord unfolds his purposes before what we are looking at. In the context of John 7, what we have here is the Feast of the Tabernacles. And the Feast of the Tabernacles, why it was the last celebration that was on the Jewish calendar, when thanks were given to God for the harvest and for all of the times of remembering their sojourn through the wilderness of the people of Israel. And so they were going to give thanks to God for their deliverance from Egypt, and they would be feasting at this time in Jerusalem. And the Lord went up to the temple at that moment, and he went up there in secret. He went up there and disputed with the Jews, but he could not be hidden. And their intention was to kill him, but they were unable because, as the Scripture tells us, his hour was not yet come. Because his hour was not yet come, it meant that the determinate counsel of God and the foreknowledge of the Lord that we were talking about today from the book of Acts, the Lord had a day set aside. He had planned an eternity when he would be betrayed, the Lord Jesus. He would be taken, and with cruel hands he would be crucified. Now, it's widely accepted that at this particular Jewish custom and this feast, that they would go from the pool of Siloam and they would draw water, and they would go then in a solemn procession, and they would pour out the water they had taken from this pool at the base of the altar, at which time in the temple there would be music and there would be great singing from the Psalm 113 to 118, which is known as the Hallel, or the Hallelujah, songs of praise. We can now capture a sense of what's happening here in this event. As it drew this feast to a conclusion, there was a very natural climax here. The people were singing, there was shouting, there was worshiping. And then, when the interest of the people was raised just at that point, the Lord Jesus, at the last day, that great day of the feast, he stood and he cried, saying in verse 37, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The Lord's voice here now resounded in the temple. And I want you to think with me tonight about those very pressing words that Jesus spoke to the people at that time from verse 37 and verse 38. It was a far-reaching question that the Lord said. If any man thirst. It was a very broad statement because he included any man. You can picture the scene. Jerusalem is now crowded with people. There are hundreds, if not thousands, gathered in for that celebration. And amongst all the noise, the Lord Jesus stands up to gather attention to himself, both that he can say clearly and be seen. And he cries with a loud voice, "If any man." My friends, that's a very important thing for us to note, because we're told in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
And the Apostle Paul said that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And so as the Lord stood and he made this great proclamation, he was saying that salvation, the message that he was coming to deliver, is a message for any man. We're told in the book of Romans that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's repeated also in the book of Revelation, according to John, when he records that whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Think of the diverse mass of people gathered at Jerusalem. It was similar to the time of the Pentecost. Jews from many regions around, from many nations, they were converted, perhaps to Judaism as well. You would have Ethiopians. There were those of varying racial degree and social degree, economic background. And yet they were all included in that word, if any man. My friend, things have not changed today. Indeed, the gospel, it has not been narrowed, but it has rather been expanded. It includes all who fall under the category of any man, of whosoever will. This was the message that the Lord Jesus spoke that day. Do not think because you are not brought up maybe in a religious or a church background, or don't think because the Bible does not directly apply to you in your own thinking, but my friend, you are here or listening to this word tonight, and therefore the message that Jesus spoke at that time, it applies tonight. That whosoever, if any man thirst. 2,000 years ago is when the Lord mentioned and proclaimed this. And yet people may think today, well, we've come a long time and we've made many advancements both in science and in thinking, in the development of society. Surely the word that Jesus spoke then would not be applicable to this modern generation. But my friend, that's the timelessness of the Word of God. It does not have a stale date on it. It always is applicable. It is always fresh and always alive. And I say this to you tonight, because if you're here without Christ, then this message applies to you, if any man. But I'll tell you something. There is also an extended meaning here for every Christian. Because we fall under this category as well. And we are here to listen to the words of Christ. They are meaningful to us. We are interested. We want to know the message of God. We want to know the words that fall from the lips of the Son of God. And so when He begins to speak, every Christian should be listening. And when it says here, if any man, it includes every man that is under His grace and faith in salvation. And so, Christian, let us pay special and double attention tonight. Because the Lord went on to say that if any man thirst, He was speaking about a qualification. And friend, if you're here tonight and you do not know the Savior, this qualification is what the Lord presents to you for your need of soul saving. Thirst is such a common thing. The Lord blesses us with the mercy of thirst, actually, so that our body is triggered to know when we need moisture. And if we did not have that desire or longing to drink when we are parched or dehydrated, then we would not survive very long. You cannot go many hours, certainly not many days, without water. And the Lord, of course, applied this to the need of people in a physical context because He was living in the land of Israel. And water was so precious, and people would not be able to last very long under the heat of the eastern sky. And so this they understood well
of what the Lord Jesus said. Do you know, some people, they think today that I don't need any religion. I certainly don't need Christianity. I don't need anything else outside my own thinking of life. I really want to live life my way. And so what's this idea that Jesus was talking about thirsting? Well, people think today, I don't need to have an answer because I'm not thirsting for anything. I have my own direction of life, have my own goals, I have my own determination of the destination I want to go, and it's all in order. And my friends, in some respect, the Lord's word is not for you. Because Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous. I did not come to call those who are satisfied with who they are and what they are. I came to call those who are thirsty, those who are hungry, those who are sick. These are the ones that Christ came to apply His word and His message to. And so tonight, you are qualified if you come under that category. Are you thirsty tonight? You have never tasted of the gift of God's salvation. Friend, you've never drunk in of the Lord into your heart. Then tonight, Jesus says to you, if any man thirst. But let me say also tonight, you're a child of God. You believe in the Lord Jesus. But you have a thirst in your heart, as I pray you do. You have a deep longing to know the Lord more. You want to know more of His blessing in your life. You want to know more of His power in your daily Christian walk. Indeed, you are thirsty, Christian. But yet you come and you have to say, Lord, I am parched. I long to know more. I long to have a closer walk with God. But it seems to escape me. It's just out of touch, out of reach. You know, the Lord has promised from the book of Isaiah, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon a dry ground. And the Lord is speaking and meaning there, I will pour out my Spirit upon you. I will send that power that you long for and desire. I will give my Spirit in abundance. Didn't the Lord say, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall my heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? My friend, tonight, seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek God for that quenching of thirst that you have spiritually, because as you do that, the Lord has promised to answer that prayer and to pour out His Spirit upon you. The world would say to us that religion, it's for those who are weak-minded. Christianity, it's not those, not for the intellectual. The Apostle Paul said, not many mighty. Not many who are seen as great in this world. But the Lord has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. And so, friend, let us realize that we are weak indeed. And left to ourselves, we are completely helpless and hopeless. But the Lord has given to us this word tonight. Are you thirsty? You know what? He has promised that He will quench our thirst. He will come to answer this very important condition of the heart, this thirsty soul. And oh, believer, tonight, if you are spiritually aware of this need that you have, then come and don't rest. Do not stop until you have come to realize the Lord's blessing poured out in your own life. You say, well, I've prayed before. Nothing's happened. I've sought the Lord and I really am not changed. There are times in our lives when the Lord will answer this prayer, and it is more in the slow and steady progress of your walk with God. And you perhaps are not noticing great leaps and bounds, but you look back over the last year, maybe even the last 6 months, and you can say, that prayer which I sought the Lord for, that burden, that besetting sin which pulled me back, I realize the Lord has delivered me from it. He's given me release. And you see there, the Lord is indeed answering your prayer, and He is increasing your thirst. He is delivering you from that bondage. But there are other times where you will pray and all of a sudden the Lord will come, and maybe it's through a sermon that's being preached, or it may be through some significant time on your knees before the Lord in prayer, and you've sought Him, you've cried out to Him, and He opens the Word to you. And He comes to bless your soul with some unique, some significant time where you've been alone with God. There are moments where He will give great advancement, but the majority of the time, believer, it will be the slow, the steady progress of growing and growing in grace. We do not go from childhood to adolescence overnight. There is a process. There is a period of time. A teenager does not grow into adulthood overnight. No, there is that period of time of growth. And so the Lord works in us in the same way of our spiritual desires. My friend, the Lord has said to us here that the solution to this thirsting is very, very simple. Jesus said, "Let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me and drink." The word here is to come to the Lord. Not reform your ways, unbeliever, tonight. Not clean up your life and then come. Not study to gain more knowledge so as to be better prepared. That's not what He says. But the Lord opens the invitation. He says, if any man will come to me, just make that approach. Don't think you have to go through a lot of hoops to jump through before you can come to Christ. That's not what He says. He says, just simply come to me. Let him that is athirst come. It is a hard thing for you to do that, though. It's a hard thing to come to the Lord, though it is the very simplest of actions. The Lord said, just as you are, to come. Why is it such a hard thing? It's a hard thing, friend, for this reason, because of the hardness and stubbornness of the human heart. And because inside we are naturally bent on thinking that we have to do something to appease God. We have to work our way to the Lord. And we want to bring all of our strong reasonings, want to bring our good works. We want to load them all on the table and say, here, Lord, I'm ready. Now take my offering. And you know what has to happen? The whole table has to be cleared. Everything's gone. And we bring nothing to the table except our sin, except our sinful nature, except the emptiness of our own hearts. That's what we bring. Indeed, Mr. Spurgeon said these words, "The more unfit we are, the better prepared we are to come." In fact, he goes on to say, "Our unfitness is indeed our fitness to come." The Lord wants us in the way we are. Because if we try to reform and clean up ourselves, He's only going to have to undo all that work anyways. The Lord Jesus simply says, come. And that's what He calls us to do. We are to put our faith in the finished work that the Lord did on the cross, and to step out upon the promise that the Lord has made to us, to step out in faith. Because, friend, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He said to us to come. But then He has also said for us to drink. This word is used figuratively here to answer the word for thirst. Here we're invited freely to take all that is needed for our souls from Christ, to take the mercy, to receive the grace, to take the pardon and the peace and the strength, for the Lord Himself is the fountain of life. There is no other place that we can go to receive that grace and power and strength. It comes from the Lord Jesus alone. And so, friend, tonight, stop and listen to the words that the Savior is speaking. He is saying, come to me and drink. Take of the fountain of life. What did the Savior say to the woman at the well at Samaria? He was asking her to give to me a drink from this well. And the Lord said to her, if you knew who it was that was saying to you, give drink, you would say, give me drink, because I will give you of the water of life, and you will drink and never thirst again. And she said, Lord, give me this evermore, this drink. Friend, come tonight and take of the well of eternal salvation. And when you drink of Christ, you will find that He satisfies completely. For He will take away our sin. He will give us eternal life. And He will be with us right all the way through this journey and to the end. You think of this claim that the Lord made. It was not a claim that has ever been made by any man before, no matter how great. Abraham, the father of the faithful, he did not make such a claim. Moses, we were talking about him this morning, a great, a mighty man of God, the meekest man of all the earth, a great prophet. He never made such a claim. Elijah, the Lord Jesus said of him that there was no greater prophet that lived than Elijah, and he never made such a claim. No, there's only one who has ever said, come to me and drink, and I will give you the water of everlasting life, so that you will never thirst again. What, never thirst again? No, the hymn writer said, no, never thirst again. That little Sunday school chorus. Come, friend, and drink, for your thirst will be quenched. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then in thirsting and coming and drinking, you will believe in your heart. For that's what the Savior has said in coming to Him. Look at the next verse, verse 38. For he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. So he's talking there about faith. Coming to the Lord is believing on Him. What about us as Christians? This same thing applies to us, you know, as we want to find satisfaction in our lives. Where are you going to go? Friend, turn only to your Savior. Look only unto Him. Because as we turn to Him, as we go to Him, we will find that He is the satisfaction for the deepest longing and need of our own hearts. My, the result is a marvelous one that Jesus spoke of. For He said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. In other words, when a man has been redeemed by the Lord's grace, when he has come and had drunk at that fountainhead, something will happen to the life of that individual. It's happened to you, if you're a Christian tonight, that out of your life will flow rivers of living water. And how is this to be? It tells us that He was speaking of the Holy Spirit that was to come. When the Lord ascended and left His disciples, it was then that the Holy Spirit came to do His great work of convicting and converting, of convincing men of sin, and of showing the person of Christ and His work through the Word of God. Out of the innermost man, the inside of us, the Spirit of the Lord is at work in our lives. And as we go about our daily business of serving and living for God, Christ has said that from us will flow the life-giving waters to others. How so? Simply, friend, because you have the light. So do I. We have Christ in us. The Spirit of the Lord is alive within us. And so as we go about our operation, our work, we are to manifest, to emanate this life and light and refreshment to others we come in contact with. The heart, the Lord tells us, our soul, it's the very seat of our thinking, our feeling, our choice. And so when the Lord said, the inside of us, out of our bellies, He's meaning about who we are on the inside. Our life has been changed. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And now we are able to see clearly the purposes of God and His sovereign hand in our life, in areas we never would have seen it before. Because when we were unsaved, we assumed that when things went bad, well, there was some curse upon our life, perhaps,
some strange reason. Maybe it's just consequences or circumstances around us. But when we're Christians, then we see things differently. We know that God has a purpose in our life. We know the sovereign hand of the Lord is unfolding His will in and through us. Out of our inner man will flow rivers of living water. This is a life-giving work. Now that we have been given a new heart, there is flowing out of our life rivers of refreshment and life to those around, to refresh, to irrigate, and to give life. And friend, this is not just to those who are unsaved and are witnessing, but think about it in our Christian impact to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Because this is a very important work that we have to do. It is said to be an abundant work. Because the Lord said rivers in plural. So there's an abundance that comes from the life of the child of God. And I pray that though we feel often our weakness, and though we feel the lack of power in our spiritual lives, yet the Lord has said to us, come to me, and I will see that your life is in abundance to others. Is that not what we want? Christian, is that not what you want on the inside? That others will be indeed refreshed by you, not embittered by us? That's a sad thing. When we are disgruntled in our own spirit, or there's something going wrong on the inside of us, and we do more of poisoning of others around than we do of bringing blessing, that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to bring refreshment. He wants us to bring those waters that are alive and living. Not one, but many rivers which must flow in every direction from the life of the Christian. We may not be aware of the outcome of this. And the Lord doesn't maybe allow us to see the outcome. Do you know why? Maybe because we would just consume upon our own lusts and we'd be filled with pride to know. But you don't know the people you're impacting and encouraging, believer, by your Christian faithful witness. So be encouraged that as we go about our life, God is using us, maybe in ways we will never, ever fully know. But He has promised that through us, He is doing a great work. Through our lives and testimonies, He is touching the lives of other people. And you don't know. And yet the Lord has promised that that work will not return unto Him void. It will not return empty. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and we shall receive of it again in many days. It is God that works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And thereby many will be blessed by the faithful and obedient and devoted lives of His people. But this is a continual work. It's ongoing. Because it says, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. It is something that is not going to be just for a bit and then stop. No, it is to be ongoing in our life, to flow from us. A good work? Yes, it is a good work. It's a good work because it's God's work. Is it a lasting work? Yes, it is a lasting work because it is God who is at work in us. And He that has started the work will complete it. He will perform and perfect that which concerns me, for out of us will flow that blessing. Therefore, friend, let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't be cast aside when you don't see the results that you want to see immediately. Be not weary in well-doing. We will fully see and know the impact that we have had on the lives of others in eternity, but not in time. And in eternity, well, all boasting and pride will be gone then, and the Lord will allow us to see what impact, what work He has done through you, Christian, even when you think, I'm nobody, I can't do anything. I don't have the talents that somebody else has. Never mind, the Lord is at work in us. And He has promised that this will be true. And He will accomplish that which He intends. But there is a warning for us. And the warning is a practical one because we can hinder
that blessing flowing out to others. We can hinder it by our disobedience.
When the Lord has given us very clear commands in His Word, and we decide we don't want to obey that because it's not convenient for us, or it cuts across the grain of something that we are attached to, and the Lord has to take that attachment away. And you know what it is when a child has a grip on something and the parent knows that if the child continues to hold on to this thing, they're going to get hurt. And so sometimes the parent has to pull, and the child's holding on for dear life, and the pulling gets more. But the parent has to pull away that object from their child that they know will do them harm.
And sometimes when we hold on to things in this life in our disobedient and willful and sometimes petulant manner, well, the Lord must do to us what is necessary as a loving Father. And so, friends, let us realize He does not want our disobedience, but He wants our loving obedience in every turn. And we can disrupt that if we choose to hold on to something by emotional means or by covetous means some other way. What about the coldness of our heart? That certainly is a great problem that will hinder our blessing to other people. Have we gotten away from the Lord? Well, He bids us to come back to Him. You say, well, how do I come back? I've tried before. Friend, the Lord has given us the answer right here. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And the Lord says it again to us afresh. Come back to Calvary. Come back to the cross. Come back to the fountain where you know is life and light and hope. And when we come back to the Lord to be refreshed, we find that though cold in heart before, we are warmed, we are refreshed, we are encouraged, and the Lord is the great encourager. If we allow bitterness or envy to rise in us, jealous of maybe what another brother, sister has received, that bitterness allowed to go on will destroy us and will destroy others around us. So we need to get that root of bitterness pulled out of the garden of our heart immediately and not allow it to spread to other areas. And when we resist the Lord's will, I think we're all guilty of this to some degree in our lives. And the resisting of His will is when God has been placing His finger upon some area in our life and He wants us to go in a direction, but we are holding back. We're resisting that. And when we come to pray, get before God, we know that that issue kind of springs up again and it's in front of our mind. And until we surrender our will to Him, until we stop resisting what God is wanting to do in us, the blessing, you see, cannot flow properly through our lives until we get that dealt with. There is something that happens inside water pipes that have a high degree of calcium in the water. Calcification of the pipes can happen. And it can slowly over time restrict the flow of water right to the point where it's just a trickle that's coming out and not nearly the force that at one time it did. There's another problem medically that happens when the arteries that we have become clogged. That's a problem that many, many people have today, and procedures have to go on, whether it's a stent being put in or some other procedure to try to clear the arteries that are so vital to get the blood flow right into the heart. And if that blood flow is restricted, well, heart attack can be the problem, stroke can be the problem, any number of issues. And we have to get the arteries cleaned out. Too much cholesterol, too much fat food. Maybe there's a lot of reasons why this has happened in our life and the health has slowly gone down. Is it, friend, in a spiritual sense to us, too much of the world? Too much carnality? Too many things where we have indulged ourselves and the spiritual side of us is now being choked off And the Lord cannot flow through us, and He will not, until we repent, until we come and say, Lord, please clean out our lives. Clean the pipes of our heart out spiritually so that we can not have any restriction to flow, that the Lord may be honored. You see, friend, if we're going to be a blessing to others, then we have to walk in constant communion with Him. We have to drink regularly at the fountain of Christ. And as we drink of Him, then we will find that water of life flowing through us. It will keep the pipes clean, and we will be a blessing to others that we come in contact with. Oh, friend, sometimes the Lord has to do the operation work, and it's not pleasant. And to clean out that which has built up with calcium or some kind of deposits, there's a lot of scraping that has to go on. It may not be pleasant. But we need to have that flow of the Lord's grace through us. And so we would do well to say, Lord, whatever it takes in our lives to bring that to its completion, then please do it. You see, friend, the Lord invites us to come and drink of Him for salvation. And after we have come to take that water of life, then He wants us to continue to drink from Him so that we might be, in turn, a blessing to others. Don't let another day pass. Unbeliever without trusting in Christ, tonight is the night. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But Christian, let us not wait another day before we make sure that our hearts are right with God and that we put behind us those things which have so holding us back or tying us down. Let's cut the lines so that we may be released and to come and to walk in the light and fellowship with the Lord in our hearts. Father, tonight we pray that Thy precious word would not leave every one of our hearts. Lord, stamp it on our minds, we pray. Dear Father, forgive us for the times that we hear and then the word just seems to drain away from us. Save souls tonight, we beseech Thee, Lord. And stir up the hearts of all of us, Thy people. Forgive us for the times of our sinfulness and our willful complacency. And dear God, revive our hearts, we pray. Take us on from strength to strength, Lord, we ask. And let us always come to drink of that fountain that will never, ever run dry. Let us find our satisfaction alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Part us now, Lord, we pray, in Thy fear, with Thy rich blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Make us a blessing there. Make us a blessing, O God, in our workplace or wherever we are. Shine through us, Lord, we pray. Hear us now, we ask, in our Savior's precious name. Amen.